Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMI Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be speaking with Siegfried Beckendorf, author of Curiosity, Courage, and Humor. Mr. Beckendorf, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Excellent. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. So this will conclude our three-part interview, and I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit about Curiosity, Courage, and Humor, particularly the plot and characters of this book.
Yes, well, this particular book was published October 23rd by Friesen Press, Victoria, Canada, and I must say, I only got my supply of copies a few days ago, but I'm very encouraged to get my message across to readers about my entire experiences of the previous four books. And the response I've had since October 23rd was quite encouraging. But really, I like to mention that these five books that have now in total been published, it's really a slow but steadily movement that I experience in how we shape our own life, our own thinking and experiences and so forth. Now, Curiosity, Courage, and Humor is for me a learning process. My own experiences shape my understanding. And the courage to express our human potential for infinite possibilities, my own views spiced with humor for inspiration in the search for who I am, has gotten a pretty good feedback. And I get messages that enrich my own search for who I am. And I express my thinking through this fiction story. And I selected a lady, Tanja, and her partner who express really what I am thinking and want to get across in my book is being close to nature, living in the present moment to overcome negative influences, opening doors for everyone to meet challenges in personal and business relationships. And the response from readers will enrich my life. And it was my great interest and curiosity that started my interest in reading books, attending lectures and webinars by well-known authors and discussion groups. And this experience and with the group enriched my own understanding in subjects of concerns about our precious natural resources, creative aging, meditation, individuality, and own experiences. A change in our society will always start with ourselves. This is pretty well what I'm trying to convey.
No, and that's terrific. I mean, you know, the project of all of your books really just speaks to that so eloquently. And I'm curious with this book, where the idea for the characters came from and for the narrative. It presents all of these ideas beautifully. What inspired you to take this choice with this story and these characters?
Well, it really goes back to the time when my wife and myself started in 2000, about 2010 and so forth, to write a story about our own, our both experiences. And this was my daughter-in-law and my grandson prodded us to write down our stories. And my wife and I really were not experienced in writing stories and so forth, but we both kept journals of our experiences. So we started to put together our journals, and I myself made sure that my wife is part of my story. And when my wife died in September 15, I promised her that I would finish the book, which we had just only started. And I was determined to bring also my wife's views and experiences into the book. So that's why I picked a lady, in this case a nurse, an artist, which my wife was an artist, a musician, and really helped provide the added to the culture of this little hometown here, Briar Creek in Western Canada. And it was her influence for me to include music in my books. That was her contributions, her contribution in our travels and everything. So, and as far as the male figure, I selected anything where people have negative experiences early in their childhood. That's not really my case, but I picked someone to really listen to a female partner in getting encouragement about how to get out of depression and get inspired to look at nature for healing power and so forth, and shape the story more or less as such.
Now, that's so interesting that you had mentioned your wife before and the partnership there in beginning to write. And yeah, I was so struck by this idea of the relationship of the female character and the male character, and bringing art into it, which is something we've discussed before, and that connection. And all of the books up to this point have taken different strategies to kind of discuss these ideas. And I guess I'm curious if you could speak a little more to ways in which individuals can access these ideas in their daily life. You mentioned meditation and nature. If I were to want to begin to practice some of these ideas, what would you recommend I do?
First of all, I think I got my influence to feel strongly about being connected to nature is my growing up in a small village in Germany, and I was surrounded by beautiful trees, and the scenery was so beautiful that I recall in very early of my life that I always wanted to go out, play, and we had a pond, and we, at an early age, watched birds and made notes of their nesting habits and so forth. And it grew into, as I grew older, that I kept this love of nature carrying on into the later years when I was confronted with the effects of World War II. And experienced a dramatic, had dramatic experiences in what the effects of the World War II was on my life at 15 years of age. And at that time, I was influenced by someone in the military hospital where I was delivered, because there was no other hospital available to treat my infection with tetanus. And I got the inspiration from someone I worked with after recovery, and he said, look at the beauty of nature, the raindrops on trees, they sparkle like thousands of diamonds. Now this really was good, impressed on my mind, to the effect when I later on looked for employment and moved into the city of Hamburg, And after my education there, I decided with two brothers to move to Canada for to take a break before I settled down in the big city of Hamburg. And from then on, I experienced on the trip over by boat and so forth, I got encouraged by a steward on the boat that we traveled on at that time. We started in Hamburg via Paris, Rouen by train, and then by ship across the North Sea to Swansea, England, and then to Quebec and so forth. And on that trip, the steward mentioned to me already when many people got seasick, and my brothers and ourselves were not affected by that, and we were standing there always hungry, and he said, help yourself to all the food that is there. There was lots of it. And he took the time with us standing there and looking at the huge waves that confronted us on the way over. And he said, look at this small little boat and myself here. It's a little bit of a spot on this boat. I feel I have the responsibility and opportunity to feel my own experience being so small and so tiny in these huge waves that make me feel I have to do my own inner search to be strong, to be a partner in handling this boat to overcome heavy seas. And this man was also inspiring me with many writings, and he was a philosopher. He mentioned great literary giants like Shakespeare and Goethe and many others. And that influenced me, and I started taking notes. And I must say that I was given, before I left Hamburg, a book by a friend who said, take this notebook, write down your experiences. You will have your own experience, and you will come back to Hamburg in command of the English language, and you will miss Hamburg. But landing in Canada and working for 2 years, this was our plan. We moved to the Okanagan Valley, and I enjoyed nature there. I enjoyed the memory of diamonds everywhere stuck with me throughout my experiences. And on the way back, when we started out in Calgary during the Stampede time in 1953, I met my wife. She danced so beautifully, and I forgot to go back, as a matter of fact. That was really the case. And we got married and so forth. And I mentioned to her the story of diamonds everywhere. And she was so influenced by that, and she put it into her songs, and we traveled and lived from then on, meeting all the challenges and looked for diamonds everywhere.
That's just so beautiful and so inspiring. And, I think such an important takeaway for our listeners and for obviously everybody is that idea of mindfulness. And really, you talk about that notebook and taking notes, and even as a child, noting the nesting habits of birds, and just, it's about the individual engaging with nature in such a meaningful way. And I think, in this day and age of all technology and phones, that, it's probably even more important now for people just to stop for a second, take a deep breath, and look at the tree and, see diamonds everywhere. So that's just so stupendous. And I'm curious, I know that that Curiosity, Courage, and Humor has just come out, and you only just received your copies, but are you working on anything else, any plans, or are you just going to at last take a little bit of a break for yourself?
No. Okay, I must say that during the time my wife was very ill, and we knew that she had only 2 years to live after a difficult heart operation, I was determined to be available for her. She wanted to die in our own home. and I looked after her 24/7 pretty well, even though we had nurses assisting and so forth. And this experience really, at that time, I should have had my knee replaced, but I couldn't do that while my wife was dying. So I had the knee replacement done after, and that went very well. But I had continuous problems at that time from then on, because when I developed land 40 years before that, I had a tree fall on my left leg and broke tibia and fibula. And at that time, I started traveling on business to Europe and so forth, and I neglected to look after it. So today, so many years after, my back problems really are more difficult. I recovered very well from the knee replacement. But now I'm living alone in the big house that my wife wanted to die in, looking at the river, and I feel so inspired by, again, how closely I'm connected to nature. And my family, my son and daughter-in-law and grandson live close by. They keep an eye on me. And I walk. I was recommended a few months ago I should walk with two sticks to keep my nose up. My doctor confirmed that too. And honestly, it made such a difference to me that I was able to keep up my nose and help with my back problems. I kept on traveling and used the two sticks to keep my nose up and choose a wheelchair to travel and get through customs and forth to my rental car. I have no trouble driving. I just received another 2 years extension of my driver's license. So I feel, in spite of being hindered to move around, I keep on going, and I have new ideas to write a book, because the community we chose to live in here in Brack Creek, we have now been residents for over 50 years. I was asked by the Historical Society to write a new book about Brack Creek, because I am such a long resident, and my wife and my heart and the family is so well liked here, as the contributions that we have on our books that we wrote in English, contributions here from the residents here and old established commercial and people, they keep on making sure that I'm part of the seniors here. I'm part of the seniors, the Historical Society, the artisans group here in Brack Creek. They all keep me so busy that I was invited to write another book. And they thought, if you write something that we can incorporate into the history of Brack Creek and what makes people to move to Brack Creek. And I know it's number one, the trees, and it's the foothills of Alberta, the beauty. So I am working on a book, and it will have a title that I thought would be a good title, Young Man Go West. And with my picture, photo of my trail rides that is on my books in German too, where I was on the trail rides, and I was taking a photographer who joined us, made a picture of me looking at me with burnt face and cowboy hat, and that is the photo that is also part of my books. And I will have a photo of that guy, that cowboy, on a thing. And I also will make reference to the happy trails that myself and my family have had ever since we come to Brack Creek. So I'm working on that manuscript, and I know I will have a lot of encouragement. I'll take my time and have photos of looking here across the river to the bridge and the foothills in the back. I still feel as excited as the time, first time we laid eyes here on Bragg Creek. So that's what I'm working on as well. And I'm determined to, and I was asked, well, how long do you think you want to live in your home? I said, my philosophy is to take one day at a time. And that's what keeps me going. Every day I feel encouraged to start a new day and new experiences.
That's just so inspiring. I mean, the body of work that you produce and the work itself being so inspiring for all readers, but also just you and your life that you've, you know, been through so much and continue to push, and, you know, you have this sense of responsibility to share this message, and you're always so inspired by nature and by your life and love. And it's just, it's been such a pleasure to be able to speak with you and to know that you're still at it, you're still going to be writing, and that all of our listeners can be expecting new books. And, you know, obviously Curiosity, Courage, and Humor is out now for them to be able to pick up and read, but that, you know, once they've read one of your books, they can expect another one right around the corner, which is just so, so lovely.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm so grateful to have the experiences of being creative at my age of 89, that I am invited now to write more story for another community here where they are publishing my articles about creative aging. And I mentioned in my book, Curiosity, too, that creative aging is very much a subject where I feel I'm entitled and experienced to write about.
Yes, I would say that you're living proof of it. You know, people have their preconceived notions about age and how the brain works, but not only do you have the science and the writing on it, you yourself are proof of it. And it's just, it's so wonderful. And Mr. Beckendorf, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I hope to have you on the program to discuss your next book when it's finally out.
Very good. And Mr. Green, I'd like to maybe send you a copy of this latest issue here, Curiosity, Courage, and Humor in English. So this is for your own and interest and so forth. I'll maybe express it to you for your own information and use.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I would, I would love that to be able to dive in and bring a little of that that inspiration to my own life. So I thank you very much.
Yeah, I like to spread that, and I feel so enriched by the response I get from people. That makes me feel good. So I really thank you for this interview and your interest in my work here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I know that our listeners are going to be excited to pick up a copy of Curiosity, Courage, and Humor and all of your other works that we've discussed. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will speak with you soon.
Very good. Thank you very much for your patience.
Thank
and
you.
Your
Take
interest. Okay.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Of course. That was author Siegfried Beckendorf discussing his book, Curiosity, Courage, and Humor. This has been AMI Radio with your host, Charles Green. And remember, as always, to read on.